This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection Show, where we believe we can communicate with all animals. Join us as we explore the 33 principles and healing methods of the human-animal connection. As animal lovers, we know that you share our commitment to making the world a kinder place for all creatures. Together, let's embrace the transformative healing power of the human-animal connection.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Human-Animal Connection. I'm so glad you're with us because I am speaking to the very delightful Kate Hawks. And she grew up with horses. Horses surrounded her. You might even say that the horses raised her. And they helped inspire her. And now she's in the business of inspiring others. She works with people with trauma. She helps people rediscover their stories and claim their creativity. So, Kate, thanks for being a guest with us here on the Human-Animal Connection.
Well, thank you. I'm just so thrilled. I love this, and I'm happy to meet you and finally come across your amazing work in the world.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, we both agree that horses, as well, all animals, but especially horses, there's a unique way in which horses can help us heal, can help us reconnect with ourselves. Tell us a little bit about how you see that process.
Well, I think any animal, but my animal in particular seems to be the horse, force us or put us in a place where we have to pay attention to what we are doing, particularly horses. Horses, you are pretty much entirely responsible for that relationship. So if it doesn't go well, that's probably on you.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the things that I learned growing up, was whatever happened with the horses, it was on us.
Yes, yes.
So to me, that's a really valuable thing. We can't say, well, the horse didn't do blah, blah. Well, maybe you didn't help the horse know what you wanted.
Exactly right. So it can really be like a mirror for us. You know, sometimes we might think, well, I'm feeling X, but the horse says, no, I think you're feeling Y. You know.
And, you know, I have a current horse, Millie, and she, if I arrive and if I am still in some depths of fury about something and I get on her, it is not a good start. So lets me know what I'm bringing to the table. Yeah. And there's other horses that are very forgiving, but Millie's not.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting how they all have different temperaments, we know, but sensibilities and ability to read people differently. I mean, they all have the ability to read people, but I've noticed that some horses, they insist that we come at our highest level. Other horses, it's like, come as you are, whatever.
I think that's also a wonderful thing because it helps us understand that people are like that too.
Yeah.
But every time people come and work with my horses, I end up saying something will happen with the horse, right? The horse will just run over them. They can't stop the horse from walking all over them. And I will say, does this happen to you in your life with people? And they'll go, oh, yeah, it does. I go, okay. So let's practice creating space.
Yeah. Very interesting. Yeah. The horses have a sense of space, you know, like it's so profound, their sense of space and what they want in terms of either closeness or distance. And it's a moving target. It's not like it's the same thing all the time. It's, you know, based upon the individual, they get that feeling. Sometimes a horse feels like, oh, I just want to be close to this person. And sometimes a horse feels like, I don't want to be close to this person, you know? And it, yeah, it's like, well, in your opinion, how do horses sense our deeper emotions, maybe even more than we can tell ourselves?
Oh, I don't know. I think actually people are able to sense other people,
mm-hmm.
where they're at, when we get out of our way, when we're not overthinking it. So I think the thing about horses, not all horses, like we just said, they're all a bit different. Horses, because they're not overthinking, because they're not thinking, does this person like me? Or, oh, that person's got a funny dress on. Or, you know, because they're just totally in their moment.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I think, much more able to pick up on whatever it is we're putting out there. Like, think about how people-to-people interactions go. We are generally watching ourselves and worrying about ourselves at the same time as we're trying to have a conversation with someone. Right. So that, I think, blocks our perception of them. horses generally don't have that.
Wonderful. So they're like a clear channel. They're just like open to receive because they're not worried about how they look or what's wrong with them or some other idea that they have going. They're just here with us.
And they're not already planning their argument. They had to defend themselves.
Right.
There are some horses that come to the table and what they really want is a friend and comfort. So they perceive you a little differently. They're probably more likely to pick up on any aggression you may have. And then you have, like my Millie, you have the horses that come in and they are just, you know, they're just like, yeah, show me.
Show me what you got. Show me who you are.
She reminds me that I have to pull my energy way down. I have to get very focused, but I have to get very clear because if I come in with a lot of aggressive energy, she's going to fight me. And if I come in and I'm very clear, she's more likely to go, oh, you are still in charge. Okay. Okay. Just checking.
Yeah. Fascinating. Fascinating. Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting about the horses have a hierarchy. Would you say they have a hierarchy in the herd and everybody kind of knows their place? And I think with unlike with humans, which is constantly like we're constantly jockeying and trying to, you know, you know, readjust the order, the horses have a sense of where they fit in the herd. And everyone kind of, well, I can't say everyone fits because there's sometimes that it doesn't fit. But tell us about that. What have you noticed about that?
Well, I think, again, it depends very much on the temperament of the horse. Like there are horses that like to be followers and there are horses that want to be leaders. So since I've been in Oregon, in Arizona, I was in Oregon before I was here, so I'm in the rain. But I've had some very different horses. So Mariah, who's now 27, and I actually gave her to one of my students. So she is still where my horses are. She's not, I don't have to pay her bills, but I get to see her every day. But Mariah's always been a very dominant mare. She was not good at sharing anything with other horses.
My
put her in because she immediately it took her 24 hours to work out. She could actually keep an eye on both lots of feed. Followed a horse next door. Like when she was on her own, she just paced. And then there's Bella, who wants nothing more than a leader. She wants nothing more than another horse she can follow around.
Mm-hmm.
So what I've noticed is while they have their places in a herd, it really depends a lot on their temperament and their needs. I also think that they change over time.
Yeah. 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 I was going to say, what happens like if a herd has a leader and for whatever reason the leader passes, does somebody else step up to the plate? Is it easy? Is it quick? Is it known? Is it a process? What have you noticed?
Sure. Because my horses are not in the wild. My horses are in corrals. What I have noticed, I also gave Bella away a year or so ago. I had too many horses. So one of the things I realized was I wasn't really doing right by any of them. So I found the right person for each of them. So Bella has gone to Danny, who's a massage therapist. Bella is so happy. Like Bella, I'd had Bella for 6 years, but I was not Bella's person. She learned a lot, but she loves Danny. Anything for Danny. If she saw a paper bag on the ground, wanted to run to the other side of the world. She let Danny dress her in a sheet to be a ghost horse for Halloween.
Aw. That's amazing. It's amazing how particular the relationship is. Very unique. It's not like, you know, they have the same relationship with everyone.
For us as human beings, I think it's a really excellent thing for us to experience as we go out in the world with people.
Yeah.
People like us and some people won't. Right? Some people and we won't like others, but we can always behave well.
Yes.
Same. You've seen that, right? Horses will just totally love one person and not so much the others.
Yeah, it's fascinating. So tell us a little bit about working with trauma with horses, people who had trauma.
Well, I want to preface this by saying there are many people who do a lot of deep work with horses and trauma, like it's their business. For me, I sort of came at it accidentally. I've always known how horses work for me, but I do a lot of creative work with people with trauma, writing-based, performance rating based. So I'm often meeting people who have whatever's happening in their lives. I meet them through the world of theater and storytelling. And I will start talking about my horses. And people will say, oh, you know, I'm afraid of horses and I've always wanted to. So people will come and they will spend time with the horse. And it's really more about what I observe in terms of them getting to know their behavior through that relationship with horse.
Right.
Less about trauma and more about beginning to understand how they approach the world.
Mm.
So if you approach the world and you're apologetic and you're sitting back and you don't want to offend anyone, that's when your horse is going to walk all over you. You approach the world and you're like, I got this and no one's going to bother me. Your horse is going to got nothing to do with this person. Sometimes just having an interaction where over time they had to address that, they would start to see themselves. And then that can go back to, so why are you loved?
Mm-hmm.
So I would say my work with horses is more about opening people up to be free to see and be who you are without judgment. Just, this is who you are.
Yes.
This is why you do the world. And we could change that if we want to.
Yeah. And that's such an extraordinary feeling to be really seen for who we are. I mean, there's so little of that going on in the world. I mean, I think so many people walk around feeling like there's the outside of themselves that the world sees and there's the inside of themselves that nobody sees. And then you meet this horse who sees that in you. And it's very healing. It's very healing to be adored and loved and just, you know, have a horse choose to be present in your presence without caring about, you know, how much money you make or what you drove or who you voted for. It's just like, okay, I love you.
You have a treat in your pocket.
That helps too. It's always good. Always good. Yeah. So, so you kind of combine helping people really reconnect with their creativity, telling stories. And how does that work? How do you get people to open that part of themselves up?
Well, I do this thing. I trick people into writing the truth. So it's like playing theater games, but with words. So a lot of writing. A lot of getting out of your own way, like don't think. You know, my rule when I do the early writing stuff is no thinking allowed. We're not thinking. We're just going to pour it out. And then you look at what you have. I think we spend so much time in this world wanting and anxious about doing the right thing. There's not a lot of forgiveness, I don't think, for making a mistake, for being wrong. And for saying, oh, I didn't know that, but I know it now. So the work I do, well, creative endeavor, is a lot about not knowing what you're going to do and not, it's not perfect yet. And it
makes right.
So I think that's what I like to do. I do it through writing. I do it through theater. And then people discover these things they didn't even know that they had in there to tell.
Wonderful. Yeah. I know. Yeah. I know, you know, I've done some work with 4,000 service members and veterans, their families, and we do improv comedy. We'll do a little bit of that and some creative writing. And it's just beautiful to see people open up and reclaim that playful part of themselves. Because often in trauma, people, one of the things that goes is fun. You know, we have to get back to the part of ourselves that can enjoy ourselves and express ourselves freely without judgment. It's a beautiful process.
That, I think, is also where animals come in, whether we have a dog, a cat, a horse, a guinea pig, a ferret, whatever it is you have. Fish, maybe not so much, but people do love their fish. But I think that animal gives us permission in sometimes just relax and play. I mean, how your dog, and your dog's playing and you throw a stick. And with my horses, you know, in the summer, we take them to the creek and we just go into the water with the horses and we're just playing in the water, you know, in the creek. And it's, oh, look, I'm just playing. We're not trying to get the horse to do anything. We're not trying to achieve anything. We're just playing in the water, you know, in our shorts with big, huge, wet horses. It's really fun.
Really fun. That sounds like great fun. That sounds like great fun. Well, we're going to take a short little break, but when we come back, I want to hear some of the stories of people that you've worked with and their process of transformation. So we'll be right back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Gifts for my pets. Sparkle and love. Under the tree.
Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and is conveniently located on the cat tree. Go to cattreetray.com. Bring home a luxury French bulldog from the world-famous Tom King's Kennel. Premium French bulldogs from excellent European bloodlines. Superior puppy care and lifetime health guarantee for your perfect companion. Use code TOMKINGSMAGIC for a magical holiday discount. Visit TomKingsKennel.com and find your perfect Frenchie today. Your pets will be over the moon with sparkly jewelry from Over the Moon Jewelry. Beautiful handcrafted matching jewelry for you and your pet. Wire-wrapped, beaded contemporary necklaces, bracelets, and charms. Go to OverTheMoonJewelry.com.
Gifts for my pets. Joy in the air. Unwrapping dreams without a care.
Hey friends, if you like what you're hearing and want to learn more, check out Dr. Joseph's book, The Human-Animal Connection, Deepening Relationships with Animals and Ourselves. Or visit the website, thehumananimalconnection.org, to book an online consultation. Thank you for loving animals. Now back to the show.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Human-Animal Connection. So glad you're with us. And I am speaking with Kate Hawks, and she's telling about her life with horses. And she was just telling me on the break a wonderful story about something that her father said. And Kate, tell our audience that story.
Well, I grew up on a property in Australia. We had horses. And as kids, we had horses. And the way my father saw it was whatever happened with you and your horse was entirely your responsibility. When I came to America, when I was 30, people would talk about their horse throwing them. My horse threw me. Well, I thought back to my father, and I think once I said that, no, my horse threw me off. And my father said, no, you fell off. What were you doing when you came off your horse? And generally speaking, yeah, we were doing something or not doing something that caused our horse to do something, and we fell off. Now, even if that was a big, huge, like, pig root or jumping over something suddenly, that was on us. And very quickly, I remember as a child, I had this beautiful horse I loved. He was quite big. I was slightly overhorsed. But I came off him. You know, we were galloping along. He turned a corner. I didn't turn it. But I held on to the reins, and I ended up behind my horse still holding the reins. Quite reasonably, my horse kicked out, right? He had a dead weight behind that, and his mouth was hurting. And I was 12, and it got me right, you know, in a very tender place as a 12-year-old, like there on the chest. So we were only like 20 yards from the house. So, and my horse stopped. I mean, he just stood there. Once I let go of the reins, he stood there. My dad, who's down, he came running up the hill because he saw this happen. And he goes, are you all right? And he went, oh, God, he kicked me and Dad said, oh, well, shoot the bastard. And I said, no. He said, well, then we'll sell him. I said, no. He said, then get back on and ride him home.
Yeah.
And it was back to, and then later there's a conversation. What happened? Big lesson, let go of the reins.
Yeah, really. Yeah, that you know, it's a beautiful concept in a way, and to take responsibility for the things that happen. I mean, I know that we're not responsible for everything in life, but that perspective gives you so much power, because if you say, well, the horse did it to me, then you have no power. But if you say, well, I did something or I didn't do something and this happened, then you have the power to change it. So it's really a beautiful piece of wisdom that your father gave you.
April 67 years.
Yeah. Well, so tell us a story about, I know you're making a film. What's the name of your film?
poem is called Quarter Tales, T-A-L-E-S. It's a short, it will be out soon. We do have a site you can go and look at it. So what it is, I wanted to explore how valuable a relationship with a living being is apart from a human being. So, you know, the place of dogs, cats, horses in our lives, like, what does it do for us? And my mirror is horses. So it started out, it's going to be very, very tiny. It's turned into a full 13-minute short. And so I realized I knew incredible people with horse stories. So they're kind of in my film. And one of the most extraordinary is Diana. She's 90 years old. Diana grew up in Ojai, California. Her father worked training horses in the movie, you know, over 100 years ago. And then at the age of 45, horses kind of went out of her life. She'd had them all her life. And she lives here in Sedona now. And I met her, and she said, I'd love to come and see your horse again. So we actually have in my little film the moment that she reconnects with a horse after 45 years she'd not been near a horse. 90 years old. That woman, there was something, she got out of the car, she skipped over the mud puddle into the, like we all do, and watching her with Mariah, my old gray mare, everything was like muscle memory, like everything was there. Every way she talked to the horse, right to leading the horse around. You know how sometimes you get on the wrong side of the horse and the ropes behind you, and just automatically switching hands without even thinking. They just said, I want to get on. Both her sons were there, and they went, okay, we got her on that horse. That 90-year-old lady sat up, wiggled her way into the right place on the horse, and then sat and chatted, just talked. And her wisdom about what animals mean, even if it's just watching the birds in your backyard, is...
Yes.
And so she's in the film. And then the massage therapist who took Bella, she talks a lot about the meditation around horses. That's her. And then I have a lady who brought her 3-month-old baby to meet his first horse because she wants him to have that connection. And then my story is called Snapshots. And I have photos of me with horses for the last 60 years and a poem that I wrote to go with it.
Wow. Well, I know we're going to read that poem in a moment, but I'm just curious, how did the horse respond to a 3-month-old baby? Was the horse have awareness that this is a baby, or...
Aya, who's my magic horse, who just can read people, like, Mariah just stood there totally calm and still. We held the baby up. She'd sniffed it. But mostly what she knew to do was just be still and be present. You have to do anything. I hold this baby up, you know, with this beautiful mom grinning her head off, and Anna's just staring.
That's so great. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sure the horse was experiencing the baby at a very deep level and knew to be calm and still. That's beautiful.
It's Horse Tales. We have pretty much finished it. We had a complete original score done for it. We're doing our last lot of editing. And it is available if people go to the crowdfunder Seed and Spark Horse Tales. You can look up a bunch of stuff about it or on my website.
Yeah. Well, let's just give folks your website so they'll have it.
My website is wellnesswithkate.com. Kate, and that's, wellnesswithkate.com. And it has links to the various things I do. And I will be.
Yeah. And what brought you to Sedona, Arizona, a beautiful place in the world? What brought you there?
Well, I've been living in Oregon for about 20 years, which is also beautiful, but it's cold, wet, and green.
Yeah.
With that. So I came to where it was hot, dry, and red.
And how many horses did you bring with you?
I didn't bring any with me. You know, my life has, that's the other thing. I've had to love and hold and care for horses and then know when and how to let them go. Just horses always come back in my life. Oh, and I let just tell you, I left what horses I had. And then as soon as I got to Oregon, they just started coming into my life. And then when I left there was a year when I didn't have, you know, a horse. And then gradually, horses started coming back into my life. And I whittled them down to one.
Okay.
one that you can give all your love to.
And I think you mentioned earlier that it's really important to know what your capacity is, you know, depending upon your life or how much help you have or if you have a partner or whatever. But it's really important not to overhorse yourself. You know what I mean? I know people who have too many horses and none of the horses get the kind of love that I think they deserve, you know. So that's really important to have that self-awareness.
Exactly. And I think also what is, like we were saying, what's the best person for this horse? Danny, who is in the movie, Danny was the best person for Bella. Even though very little about horses, and she did come and work with me for a couple of months before she took her, couldn't have found a better person for Bella. Like that was the right person.
Yes, yes. I've seen that. Sometimes an animal and a person, it's just not right, you know, and everybody tries to make it work, but sometimes you just have to say, this isn't the best fit. This isn't what the person or the horse or the animal needs. And it takes a lot of bravery. You know, you have to be really, really clear to let an animal go and trust that there is a better person. You know, hopefully you can find that better person. But there, you know, sometimes I just went through that with someone, you know, a donkey that I love very much. And he was not thriving, whether she had too many horses that she had that were getting kind of in first place and the donkey was in last place. And she loved him, but it just, you know, the animals know. And he started escaping. And, you know, he became a little Houdini, you know, and she'd fix the fence and he'd get through again and she'd fix it and he'd get through again. So finally, she had to give him to somebody who has a donkey rescue and they have 30 donkeys and hopefully he's going to be thriving with donkeydom. You know, even though he got along great with the horses and they were a herd, it still was not ideal. And it was a very painful lesson for me, more for me, because I totally loved this donkey, but I had to recognize that he knows that there's something better for him, and he behaved in a way that absolutely got our attention. You know, we couldn't ignore the fact that he was getting onto other people's property and eating their fruit trees, and this was not going to work. They were not going to let that happen.
That lesson, again, I was so lucky the way I was raised on a ranch with all sorts of horses, all kinds of horses all the time, and a father who was very practical and a very good horseman. But I remember I was 10 and I wanted a black horseman, a black beauty. I wanted a black horse. But never mind, we had umpteen horses. And my father found me a black horse. And a black horse is hard to find, like a real black horse. Beautiful. She was beautiful. Within 2 months, it became very clear I was not ready for that horse. Like, she was too much horse for me.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I came off her so many times. So many times. And finally, my father was... And the horse then started getting more and more difficult because I didn't know what I was doing. I was getting frustrated, but I was really stubborn. Finally, my father just said, you know what? You're not ready for this horse. Can't say the horse is bad.
Right, right.
This horse, we're going to find another home and, you know, we'll get you another horse or use one of the many we have. But again, I remember just being, but I failed. And Dad goes, no, this horse is too much for you right now. And it's a good lesson. Like, it wasn't my fault, it wasn't the horse's fault, and he made that choice before anybody got hurt.
Yeah,
my pride.
Yeah, right.
And always remember that too. Just know when you're able to manage and handle something, and it's the same in real life. Like, again, to me, all these horse lessons apply to our life.
Yes, beautiful metaphors that, you know, sometimes we couldn't hear it in words, but we can hear it in horse. Do you know what I mean? We can recognize, okay, so like this donkey that was escaping, this donkey was saying, there's a better place for me. This isn't right, you know? And even though I wanted to keep him, because we do a lot of therapy work with him, he was brilliant with people, you know, it wasn't right for him in that barn and he needed to go another place. So, Yeah. It wasn't easy. I had to really work with myself and get past my own personal desires, my own personal sadness to see what it was that he needed. And yeah. It's really something, the way that animals can teach us without words, but just through behavior, energy, love, they can show us something that we're not seeing that we need to see. So yeah, beautiful. Well, before we leave, is there any last thing you want to leave our audience with, a bit of wisdom from Kate Hawks?
hear the poem or do we?
Oh, yes. Let's go. Let's hear the poem. I forgot about the poem. Let's hear the poem.
So in the film, I do my story as well. And I do it through a series of photographs. I went and dug out, you know, the old fashioned black and white photos. There's a series of those. And while those are showing on the screen, my voiceover does this poem. It's called The Shadow That Rides Beside Me. A shadow rides beside my life, the equine connection, forged as an Australian child with every hello and goodbye. Photos hold stories of us all, some so strong I smell them, some whispering memories that pound in my heart and pull. Horses locate me in time, space, focusing history, hopes, weaving together then to now. Horses, people, and place. In the other hemisphere, older like a homing device, horses guide, comfort, and challenge Oregon to Arizona. A horse might look like one from before, but every love is unique. The things we do might echo the past, but each brings a gift of more. My shadow rides on the edge of sight, carried by sureness of foot. When and how the journey is made, horse dreams lead me to the light.
Beautiful, beautiful, lovely, lovely, lovely. Well, thank you for the lovely work that you're doing with animals and with people and helping them find their stories through interacting with horses and discovering a side of themselves that maybe they've forgotten.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Jeannie, and for all the wonderful work you do.
Thank you. All right. Well, we'll say aloha for now and to be continued. Thank you for listening to the Human Animal Connection Podcast.
Thank you for tuning in to the Human Animal Connection Show. Please visit our website, thehumananimalconnection.org. There you can sign up for our free email newsletter, book a consultation, or check out our blogs and resources. Our best-selling book, The Human Animal Connection, is available on Amazon. And your donation of any amount keeps our nonprofit organization providing life-changing services.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.